The topic today is a topic that is very well known by all of us Seventh-day Adventists. And if there is someone here that is not a Seventh-day Adventist yet, we hope that this message will encourage you to take that step. Why? Because it's not an action, a movement to belong to a denomination, but it is a statement of faith that you make as time is still, you know, available. We are still living a time of grace, so let's be gracious. There's nothing more precious to us than our life. Why not have it eternally? So we have been speaking about last day's event, and today we're going to be talking about the mark of the beast. I must confess that it was not a topic that I thought maybe it should be during the seminar or something else, but not in the morning. But some of you, this is the only opportunity that we will have to have you here in church. So we decided to talk about this because last week, if you remember, those that came here, we talked about that lake of fire, which the Bible in Revelation describes many times as the second death. It's not a place where people are going to be burning forever and ever and ever. We know that it calls the second death. So we mentioned, if you remember, we mentioned that in that lake of fire, Lucifer, Satan, his billions and billions of angels, agents of destruction, as well, he said, the false prophet and the beast was thrown to that lake and destroyed forever and ever. Also, all humans that decide to become adopted by Satan and become part of his seed. And so at that time, the whole earth was destroyed and everything that was evil. That was the last day that pain existed. That was the last day that hate existed. That was the last day that all that is evil existed. Why? Because the master, evil himself, the devil, was destroyed, and with him, everything that belongs to him, which is destruction, death, and everything else. Now today, the topic, as we mentioned, the mark of the beast. It looks like it went a different direction there. It has to come this way. As Seventh-day Adventists, we are very familiar with the terminology, the three angels' message. And the angels flying through the sky in this, that close to time of the end, given a very specific message. And we, as God's people, supposed to be also messengers to propagate this message, which is the Lord is the creator. It is time for us to worship him and him only, nothing else. There is one thing that is very clear throughout Revelation, is the word worship. It is always a question, who do you worship? Do you worship God, or you worship what Satan has established to be worship? So it's time for us to listen to those angels and start practicing our faith. Listen to the message and live the message, because the problem in the world is that a lot of people listen, but quite a few people practice what they listen. And so it's important to listen, but we need it to practice. And what is the best way to practice what we listen? Is to put in an act of worship. This is what it says in Revelation 13, verse 1. You can open your Bibles or you can look in the screen. It says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name." Please pay attention to the fact that it keeps mentioning name. That will be one thing that's very relevant. One person called me, a church member from another area, called me, "Pastor, I have a few questions that I'd like to ask you, because I'm going to teach a class and I need to talk to some young people and I need to make sure that I have the answers to this question." And one of them, he says, "What is the beast? Why the Bible call a beast?" You know, typically when we call somebody a beast, is a demeaning way. It's like to say, You animal. And so why is called this a beast? First of all, it's not with the intent to demean, but it's with the intent to reflect the choices, personality of the individual or system that has been called the beast. The beast, simply speaking, is an animal that chooses not to reason. Is a movement of rebellion that chooses not to listen to wisdom and instead to rebel against God. So that's why it's established as a beast. Also, if you go to the book of Daniel, it talks about the beasts also with the same intent. Our government, they are in rebellion against God. It says about this beast coming out of the sea. And if you look closely, it has the bear, it has the leopards, it has the lion, and also has this stranger that nobody can describe, a beast. It's a new one that's representing Rome. So here you see all the same dream of Daniel, chapter 2 of Daniel. You see the lion representing Babylon, and then the Middle Persia is the bear, and then the Greece, the four leopards, and then you see this awful beast representing Rome with all those horns and the crowns. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of the bear. And if you look Daniel chapter 7, when the beast is over there, this same thing that John is talking about here is a reflection of the same thing that Daniel saw in chapter 7 of Daniel. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon, another point. Who is the dragon? Satan, the devil. He is the one that is creating all this, and he's the one who is giving power or empowering and give authority to this system. Revelation chapter 2, 13 verse 2. And then it continued. And I saw one of his heads as if it were had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world, it says here, all the world followed the beast. And I hope that this is not applied to any one of you here. He says, all the world but me, but not me. And so is Revelation verse 3. I'm going a little fast because I have quite a few slides here. So I want to make sure that some of you have heard about this general. Actually, he was not a very... great general. You know, though sometimes the people are appointed to an office because he knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, and he was one of those that but what made him unique was the fact that he was chosen to do this on February 1798. He took Pius VI prisoner. There was something that happened in Rome, and that was an excuse that Napoleon had to send this general there and arrest the Bishop of Rome. Why arrest him? Because until then, he was always in power, always deciding who governs what. But this was the excuse that the French, and way for the French. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast. And they say, who is like this beast? Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13 verse 4. Now here is the picture. Biblical, let's look some math in the Bible. It says, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Do you know all? Do you all know what is a blasphemy? If somebody says, "I am God," please kneel down and kiss the ring. Or somebody who says, what is your name? I'm Holy Father. That's what blasphemy is. But it's not only by saying that, but expecting everybody else to abide by those. And how many Seventh-day Adventists do we have here? Quite a few. How many of you call him Abba? You know, I'm going to get this. I'm going to keep always talking about it until it prints there that it isn't supposed to. We, in English, we call him Pope. I don't. I hope you stop. Because Jesus Christ says clearly, do not call anybody a father. You know, of course, when my tuna called me a father, your tuna called you a father, that's fine. But he says in the spiritual sense, we should never address to anybody as a father. Because Jesus says there is only one father. Abba is in heaven, not in Rome. Okay? So that is part of the blasphemy. It says that, and he was given authority to continue with this, all these things for 42 months. 42 months. And this number is so clear that it's repeated a few times in the Bible. 42 months. And then it says, what is 42 months? Actually, 1,260 days or years. And that's very well documented in history and also in the Bible. The Roman Church, as you know, they have made a lot of effort to try to erase this from the books. But there are so many evidence. And now with the multiplication of means to store information, it's become much easier for us to dig in and find. I had to tell myself, stop. Because I was reading so many things. I found things that I have never heard. I have been a pastor for over 40 years. And I read some things last night that I didn't believe that that was even available online. And if you do search, there are a lot of history about how they're trying to cover up. Sometimes it's the best way for you to deviate people from looking to you is to distract by calling something else. Oh, no. One thing that I found that I'll quickly share with you. In 2017, we're just around the corner. Somebody said, well, we found a manuscript that doesn't say 666. It says 616. And it's going to come up. You'll be amazed that as we come close to that day, there are people who say, we just found in a cave somewhere a brand new manuscript that says this, that Jesus said this, or that Jesus was married, or that Jesus is a... So many things is going to come up. So it is time for you to get familiar with this book, because this book is taken and something else is put in place to try to brainwash you. So I have laid on you a day for each year. That's a very well-known system that the Bible tells us that it's okay to convert the days into years. Ezekiel 4 verse 6. So it's actually 1,260 years, literal years. It is starting 538. Anybody here knows what happened in 538? Is when finally the bishop of Rome, no papa or pope, is just the bishop of Rome. By the way, if you call him a bishop of Rome, actually you've been respectful because that's the title. That's an official title. You don't have to call him what he is not. You can call him what he is. Okay, so in 538, he finally was given the power, the control over the Roman Empire. And so there is when the state and religion became one, and then he started to use that power. In many places, for years and years, nobody could be elected for any office unless they have the blessing of the so-called Roman Church. And this lasted until 1798, when finally it was over, when Berthier arrest Pius VI. Then to open his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name. Which name? What do you think he's talking about? Abba. The whole thing in Revelation, the three angels mention, is about who is the creator, therefore he needs to be worshipped. If he is not the creator, he cannot worship. You don't worship the creature, you worship the creator. And that's the whole message behind the whole thing. And so it says, a blasphemy, his name, his church, and those there are in heaven. It's talking about the Trinity. It's talking about those that are, we know that are in, is in heaven right now. This is Revelation 13, verse 6. Continue. It says, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the authority was given him every tribal tongue and nation. Verse 7 of Revelation 13. I don't know anyone here have read before. Have you heard the terminology Holy Inquisition? Yeah, the same. Forgive me, I don't mean no disrespect, but it looks like the same thing when they say holy cow. You know, just because somebody calls something holy doesn't make it holy. In India, they got this terminology because, you know, it's sacred. The cow is sacred. The same thing was in Egypt. There are some place where they, but here it comes. It says that a holy inquisition. All who dwell on the earth will worship him by force, by demand, and somebody by choice, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb. Only those that will be worshiping him is the ones who are not in God's book. So be in his book and the beast's book. Revelation 13, verse 8. Continue. It says, if anyone has a ear, let him or her listen. It's very important. Verse 8 is calling us to listen. He who leads into captivity shall go also to the same. You know, if you use one method, that it comes back to you. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of those that choose to be saint. You know, saint means holy. Patience and holiness and faith is great combination. Try it. It's great. It makes you feel great. Then I saw another beast come from this is the second beast, because Revelation 13 talks about two beasts. One that came out from the sea, and the waters means people, comes from Europe, and then one that comes from the ground. That's we're not going to be talking too much about the second beast, which is United States, that we believe. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast, talk about the second beast, in his presence, and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the beast. I don't know how many of you have seen, every time we have a president, elect a president of the United States, one thing that he does, he goes to Rome. I have no clue why, but they always do. And believe me, the one that we have right now, he is Catholic. I don't know if you have seen pictures of him with a lot of ashes on his forehead. Yeah. If you know what we need to have here, we need to have something else here, not ashes. The performs great signs. Let's talk about the second beast. He even makes fire come down from heaven on earth. Remember what we talked last Sabbath, when there was the camp of the saints, and Lucifer says, let's prepare for battle, and got all his billions of angels, and they went to attack. And the Bible says, and fire came down. And you know, we talked to you last week, Revelation 13:13. So it makes talks about destruction. And he deceives those who dwell in earth, and those signs by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast. Verse 14. We are going as fast as possible because there are a few something else that I would like to show you. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. Remember that it was hurt. It was almost killed. And now this second beast is what gives power and life back to this beast. Verse 15. He calls all, but small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark. By the way, if you go on Google, you're going to see a lot of people talk about mark being a chip that are put under your skin or a stamp or something. It has nothing to do with this, okay? I don't know how many of you, please don't raise your hand, how many of you took some time to watch the Super Bowl? Or if you watch all the sports, I don't know, if you watch any competition, Olympic, you notice that every time the winner gets some symbol to make sure that he will or she will always remember what you have accomplished. A trophy, a ring, or something. That is a mark of what they have accomplished. They go around, if they became Super Bowl champions, they go around showing their rings. You know, we are champions. Forever we're going to be champions. And we see some of them very old already. You know, they play football and they are very old, but they still carrying their, every place they go, they show up in television. You see their hand in a position that always for the camera to, they are proud of that accomplishment. So the beast also have a mark to show of its accomplishment. And you see, you'll be amazed how arrogant, how defiant they are with this authority they claim to have. And that no one may buy or sell except a one who has the mark in his name, of his name, or the beast, a number of his name. It keeps repeating name and name, verse 17. Now, that's here's the wisdom. Let him who has, or her who has understanding, calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. There's two ways you can see 666. As one number or three numbers together to form one. Six is a number of a man, of humans. Why? Because we were created on the 6 days. And even outside of religion, six is used in many calculations, many things the humans are involved, has the number six. Okay, so a six is a very common to identify humans. Now remember, there is three powers. There is the mark of the beast. It is the beast, the image of beast, and the false prophet. Three human elements, they are together, part of the same thing. They all are part of the team of the dragon, Lucifer. Verse 18, Revelation 13, verse 18. Next, it says, search that word. Many people do not realize that all this information is available very easy for you if you just sit down and decide to study. You don't need to be a genius or a scholar or a theologian to understand those things. This is a very simple topic, but why is relevant? Because eventually we have to make a choice in our lives. We cannot go on just living and pretend that everything is going to be just fine. We will come to a point that we have to decide, who am I loyal to? You see, right now when there is freedom for us to go to church or come go home and go to a store or do other things, but once that those freedoms are taken away from you, you'll be forced to choose. What are you going to do? Let me say something here that some of you may be uncomfortable with, but it is my job to make you uncomfortable, at least for a little bit. Okay? Some people, sometimes, they go to the airport And they are told that they have to travel on the Sabbath. But for another $100 more, they can leave the next day or a day after. And sometimes we say, oh, the Lord understand. And we get in the airplane because of $100. I think I said enough. Yes, the people in the last days will be divided. There will be those that are going to sit on top of time and those that will be on the bottom. Pressure. We all have a pressure. How many times I have given Bible studies to people there were certain that this is the truth, this is the church, but family. I told you a story here about somebody that I was going to go to a Bible study. Remember, I went to a family to give a Bible study, and somebody stopped me at the door and says, Pastor, and asked me a question about, should we pray for the dead? Remember the story? His name was Peter. Yes, his real name was Peter. And he asked me that question. This is the same individual that he came to our church. We studied the doctrines with him, with his wife. One day I asked him, why you don't follow the example of your brother-in-law, your sister, all of their families, they were all baptized. All their children, everybody were baptized. Why not you and your wife? You know the truth. You have been in our church so many times. And then they said, I know that my daughter will never talk to me ever again if I am baptized. I read the Bible verse that Jesus Christ says, if you are not willing to leave your family, everything else in my sake, it entered here, it came out because their daughter was everything for them in that sense. And I can understand it. I have a children now, also grandchildren. I can understand the pressure. But brothers and sisters, if you are afraid of pressure, pressure is coming. It is a natural process of any society. Every society, people have to make choices. Every day in life, we have to make choices. Please be careful how you make your choices, because you have to make them. Here is the patience of the saints. Again, the word patience. Here is the patience of the saints. Why they keep repeating this? Here is the patience. Means here are those that did not give in to pressure. Here are those that decided to remain. Oh, the Lord is taking so long to come, but I need to have faith. Patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Notice the contrast. Here are those that are patient, and because they are patient, they are saints. And why they are saints? Because they are obedient to what? To God, who is the only one who can make anybody holy, and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14:12. I hope in your Bible you have this, you know, circle. And then put the word me. Yes, when you circle this in a way, put me. So every time that you read this, it says, this is talking about me. All right? I think God will not take, this is not going to be for pride. This is going to be for hope. You will not buy or sell anything. You will not be able sometimes to act normally, like everybody else, to go and buy things. Your job that you may have, you may be forced to compromise. When I became a Seventh-day Adventist, when I got my first job, first thing that I came to the job, I was starving. I was desperate to get a job, but I came to the interview, and I told them, the first thing I'd like to say to you, maybe it's because I was too young. Now maybe there's a wise way to say it. But I would just upfront and say, look, I do not work on the Sabbath. And in Portuguese, it's very easy because Sabbath is Sabbath. We don't call Sabbath anything else but Sabbath. So I said, I don't work on the Sabbath. And my Sabbath that I talk about, I said to this person, the Sabbath that we talk about, it starts on Friday and goes, but Sunday I'll be willing to come here, work for 16 hours if it's necessary. Monday, same thing. I work as many hours you need during the entire week, but not on the Sabbath because that day doesn't exist for me to use for work. And I told the guy was going to say, oh, sorry, thank you. I need somebody else. But my surprise says, okay. I said, okay. He said, okay. I shook my head and says, do you hear what I said? Yes, okay. So I worked there, and 3 months later, God gave us the blessing to be the manager of the company. And by the time, after 3 years, he offered, I said, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying to you that God blesses those that are faithful. I was afraid of not being faithful to God. I was not afraid not to get the job. And 3 months, 3 years later, when I told him I have to leave because I'm going to become a pastor. And he says, no. If your problem is money, I'm going to give you 20% of my company plus your salary to stay. Some of you here knows about finances. For you to get 20% of a company without putting any money, that was very tempting for somebody else. But I said, I'm sorry now. He says, but pastors, he thought I was talking about priests, to become a priest, because he was Catholic. He says, pastors, how much are you going to get paid? I says, less than what I'm paid right now, just the salary. He said, are you out of your mind? I says, no, just the opposite. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And that's why I'm here. What is the symbol? The beast we already described. Symbols in Bible prophecy. Beast is power of kingdoms, water, people, or masses. Horns, subsequent kingdoms. And crowns, rulers, and kingdoms. And blasphemy, words against God. Every single blasphemy is something against God. Now the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard. We already read this. That is the description. Beasts to represent kingdoms. If it's okay with you, brothers and sisters, I'm going to continue this next week. All right? There is the better part of this message is coming, and I don't want to get some of you too tired, because I want you to understand that this is a message that we need to understand. Why? Because this is the days that we are living in. So we will continue with the last part, the seven types, things that identify the beast. And I have some documentation, some quotes here from the Catholic Church that is probably you have never seen them before. And I would like to share this next week as we continue with the message. I hope that God has blessed you. And I know that this can be tiring sometimes because it's too much information for us to process. There is a time for us to be emotional, and there is a time for us to be analytical. We need knowledge so that when we mold our emotions, we channel our emotions to the right place. So we ask you, please, continue reading on this subject. Keep preparing, because the Lord is coming. That's for sure. Every single thing in the Bible that God has promised has come through. And the Bible talks about over and over, sometimes over 2,000 times, about Jesus returning. One way or the other is there in the Bible. So I hope that by now you have made up your mind about eternal life. All right? Okay, let's stand and close with our song.